Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Holy cow. Anybody else tune out halfway through that? Yeah. Wow. Kind of carries on, doesn't it? Kind of have lots of options there to talk about. I have like 6 or 7 sermons here. If you'd like to just pick one, we'll go in one direction today and see what happens. Did anybody figure it out as it was being read? Figured that out? No. Somebody at 8:30 raised their hand, and it was actually Pastor Gary's wife, so of course she had it figured out. And then I shared this quote from Richard Rohr, who says that as soon as you think you understand it, you are lost. Because it's always unfolding, always changing. It being our lives of faith, our understanding of what this book is telling us, our understanding of the stories there and how they apply to our life. It gets overwhelming and it changes in every part of our life. Today in our gospel story, we are at the point where Jesus is at the Last Supper in John's gospel. He has spent time teaching the disciples all they need to know before he goes, and now he's taking a moment to pray. And he's praying for them. He's praying for you and for me as disciples. And then he continues to pray on and on and on and on. In these spirals, I think, is what's happening. Jesus talking about, "I am in you, God, and you are in me, and then I am in these people, and then I am with these people, and I am going to protect and strengthen them like you strengthen me, and are we lost yet? And then I'm going to send them out into the world because they don't belong to the world, but they belong to you, and I belong to you, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." Are we there? Spiraling prayers, all to say something. Something is happening there. This constant, you are in me and I in you and they in us, oneness. We are connected. Those dots can be connected to God, to each other, to the world. And then I think he goes on, because prayer is to ground us, gives us something to be rooted in. Praying, connecting with God. One of my favorite theologians, seminary professor, and now he's a blogger, his name is David Loos, and he talks about this prayer in 3 different ways. The first one, he's saying that the prayer is for the disciples, and Jesus is saying that this world is hard. Now, as people that know the end of the story for the disciples, we know that that got tough for them. Life was hard to be a first century Christian, to be someone proclaiming something that was completely out of the box at that time, but something still full of promise and full of hope. And it wasn't easy. Now, I would imagine that for you and I, life is not easy. The truth be told, life is hard. And yet culture tells us that if we just have the right pair of shoes or the right clothes or the right watch or the right, you belong to the right gym or you're in the right club or just be in the right place at the right time or whatever, life will be better. And yet, it's still hard. How many of you have ever wanted to escape your difficult time? Okay, good, I'm not alone. I'd like to escape right now. This sermon is hard. But we want to escape. I want to escape to my beach away from the beach, just somewhere away. Or maybe we want to escape to our own personal paradise of the mountains or the forest, or we're on a luxury cruise or whatever it is that helps us to just get away from our everyday difficulty. And yet, truth be told, when you get away, that stuff still goes with you, doesn't it? That stuff that you're worried about in the everyday is still there. So what do we do? Have you ever seen the movie Karate Kid? I'm a 1980s Karate Kid, so it was Ralph Macchio, was Daniel, and then Mr. Miyagi. But we're going to watch the 20th century or 21st century, whatever we're in. What are we in? 21st? Okay. Yep, just going to sit down. Where we have Jaden Smith plays Dre, and Jackie Chan is Mr. Han. And Dre is the son of a single mom who was raised in Detroit. And in Detroit, he was going to be the top of his class in sports and academics. And his mother's job moved them to China. And so we have this young man who has been uprooted from one culture and put into another where he knows nothing and is at the bottom of the totem pole again. And where he struggles because he falls in love with the wrong girl whose friends begin to bully him and there ends up being a fight. Well, they find Mr. Han. And let's see what happens.
I get it, okay? Be respectful. I got it. I put my jacket on 1,000 times. I took it off 1,000 times, okay? This is stupid. I'm done.
Check it on.
Mr. Han, I already...
Check it on. Check it on.
I don't have a jacket on.
Jacket on. Check it on. Firm. Check it off. Remember, always strong. Kung Fu lives in everything we do, Xiaodui. It lives in how we put on the jacket, how we take off the jacket. It lives in how we treat people. Everything is Kung Fu.
Everything is Kung Fu. That became Dre's outlet for hope and figuring out what to do in his situation. And he learned that everything in life was Kung Fu. Everything is faith. Everything is God. Even in those difficult, hard situations and in the beautiful, joyful times, everything is God. Jesus reminds us that yes, life is hard, and Christianity is not to provide an escape for life's difficulties, but rather offers to support and flourish amidst those troubles. Jesus prays that his disciples will be provided for and protected and strengthened. That prayer is for you. That even in the midst of the trouble, there is this promise that we are grounded in prayer, a prayer that is prayed for you by God, by Jesus. That's a pretty powerful position to be in, to be prayed for by the divine. And then Jesus goes on in this prayer to say, you have a purpose. And what is that purpose? To care for the world that God loves so much. So what does that look like to care for? I don't know if you noticed in the ramblings of that prayer, but given, that word given, Jesus said 9 times in that prayer. In this chapter alone, it's said 17 times. In John's gospel, it's 75 times. This word given, people are given. Love is given so that we can be in the world. We heard that word over and over again as well. So what does that look like to be in the world? It can be very overwhelming. What does that look like in your work life, in your school life, in your social life, in your home, in everything that you do and that you are? It's a daunting task. Because I want Christians to make a difference. I want to know that coming here, that we are reminded we are loved, we are embraced in that, and then we are sent into the world to make a difference. Is that a heavy load? Could be. Is it a joyful opportunity? Of course. What does that look like for you? You know, sometimes my escape is to escape to movies, so we're going to watch another one because I just want to escape again. Another one of my favorites is Evan Almighty. Have you ever seen that movie where, what's the lead guy's name? Steve Carell. Carell. Steve Carell is Noah. And Noah is to build an ark. Morgan Freeman is God. So let's see what happens.
So you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans. That's
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
One act of random kindness at a time. Where does it start? Last night when we were having a little discussion about this at worship, one person said it starts with a simple smile. Even in the midst of horrible Iron Man traffic yesterday, it starts with a simple smile. It starts with sharing what you know to be true for your life, that this love is here for you, for all of us gathered here, for people outside of this space. In everything that we do. How many of you know Mother Teresa, or at least the name? I don't know her personally either, but if you did, I'd love to talk to you. She said, not all of us can do great things for God, but each of us can do small things with great love. Maybe that's where we start, being reminded that we are grounded in this promise of love and sent to share those small things with great love. Let's pray. God, we know that your love has no ending. We know that this life is beautiful and difficult and sometimes both at the same time. We do not ask you to take us out of this world, but that you support and protect us while we're in it. We pray that you would set us apart in the truth that we have heard here, that your love is for everyone. And we ask that you would send us out from this service to bear witness in word and deed to your grace, your goodness, and your love. May we hear your voice calling us at home, at work, at school, in our social settings, and in the places we gather and volunteer, that we may feel and know and share your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the one set apart and the one that made us holy. Amen.
Good morning. Hi. I have a quick message on stewardship of our works and talents this message is designed for. The Bible has much to say about how we are not to get money. First, we are not to steal it, and we are not to exploit others by charging excessive interest, by overcharging them, or by defrauding them, or cheating in any way. The Bible says it is good to get money through saving and through wise investments. In fact, in one of Jesus' parables, he commended two who had invested well. We also receive money through gifts and through the estates of loved ones. But the primary way we are intended to get money is to work for it. Some people have concluded that having work was the result of the fall of Adam and Eve. They would agree with Snoopy, who concluded, "Work is the crabgrass and the lawn of life." They think that before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they just sat around in that lush atmosphere and were waited on hand and foot by God. But that's not how it was. In the book of Genesis, shortly after Adam and Eve were created by God, they were given the responsibilities of caring for the garden and for the animals. So work was God's plan from the beginning, and it still is today. Sometimes work seems like a big burden, but really, the ability to work is one of God's great blessings. Work allows us to use our talents and abilities to glorify God, to minister to other people, and to provide for our families. Another key benefit we receive from work, the Bible says, is being able to give our abilities to the Lord. We think when we promise by faith to give to a ministry like Lord of Life as God provides, we can look to Him with confidence and expectation that He will provide. So how do you want to view your work? Do you want to agree with Snoopy that work is the crabgrass and the lawn of life? Or would you like to agree with King Solomon in Proverbs by rejoicing in your work, taking pleasure in it, and in our gracious God who created work, realizing that even work is a gift from Him? Thank you.
great salvation song. Our King has come for us. Our King has come for us. See the darkness on the run. Our King victorious. Our King victorious. Arise, awake my soul. Arise, your light has come. He will shine, shine, shine on you. Love will shine, shine, shine on you. The glory of our God is raining down. The glory of our God is raining down. The glory of our God is raining down.
Let the great cathedrals ring. Our King is glorious. Our King is glorious. Now a grateful people sing. Our King is here with us. Our King is here with us. Arise, awake my soul. Arise, your light has come. Shine, shine on you. Love will shine, shine, shine on you. The glory of our God is raining down. The glory